You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Sunday afternoon's action in Dundalk. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to their seven race card is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Oh, I'm very well, mate. Very well.
Yeah, good stuff. You must be quite pleased. There's a bit of a bonus Dundalk on a Sunday afternoon.
Very much so, yeah. Quite looking forward to get back into the swing of it, actually. Part of me's kind of missed Friday nights over in Ireland with Dundalk on the all weather. But yeah, soon be here again, won't it? I think it's August, isn't it? September when it starts again. And then we go all the way through to sort of February. So yeah, those dark Friday nights in the winter will be lit up by the floodlights of Dundalk.
Oh, it's quite poetic. I like it.
I know. It rolls off the tongue. Almost as if I prepared it earlier.
I know, yeah. Anybody think you've actually done some prep here?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What do you make of the card today, Andy?
Yeah, pretty much a straightforward card as you could get. I don't mean to say that flippantly and we're going to back loads of winners, but for me, summarising it and analysing it, picking winners, you know, a lot of the ones just tip themselves, really. You know, I won't sort of tell you what they're going to be, because otherwise people will just turn off after I've mentioned them. But yeah, a lot of the old favourites all going back there, and at least they've been in good form on the turf as well, so it makes life a little bit more easy.
All right, let's get stuck into it then. The first race is the 2:35. We start here with a maiden over a mile, and Chinega Bay heads the market at 7-4. 9-4 for Black Wolf Run. Gulf of Poets is 3-1. 7-1 for Primal Snow. Kirk's Riker is 10s and 25-1 or bigger prices. For the others, we'll start with the market leader, Andy, Chinega Bay. Four consecutive runner-up efforts next to his name. Can the Joe Lyons gelding get his head in front here?
Yeah, he's a bit frustrating, isn't he? I've gone for him a few times, and the day when he got beat by Enchantress at Ferry House, I must admit, well, I had my head in my hands, because I think I backed him at 6-4 in the morning. He went off 1-2, and I was rather smugly thinking, well, this one's got it in the can. And then the winner, Enchantress, back from 33-1 to 7-2, and that horse beat him quite comfortably in the end. Same comments apply to his limit run the other day. He got brushed aside by Jacobean, who prior to that had been a bit of a frustrating individual. You can argue that the form has been given a bit of a facelift with Current State winning the third horse. So there's a little bit of a crumb of comfort there, but I think the profile and the form of Black Wolf Run is much more solid, and there might just be a little bit more to come from him as well, particularly now he's stepping up and tripping. He actually gets my strongest vote on the card today. He's 9-4 this morning with William Hill. I think he'll probably go our favourite myself. He ran a real eye-catching race first time up behind Talishian Games. Ard Humi was second in that, has won a couple of races subsequently. The time of the race is good, and I like the way this horse in the first time cheap pieces stayed on from an unpromising position. He then went to Garen the other day, strongly fancied to build upon that run. And to be fair, although he actually didn't improve his finish position, finishing third again, I actually think he did improve, because he bumped into two subsequent winners, Gussie Goose, who won a handicap the other day for a mark of, I think it was 89. The second horse, Frozen Lake, who I went with on the same card at Ferry House, also won. And if you look back through the field, Intasari, who was fourth, won the other day in Navan. And also Enough is Enough, who was fifth, has won. So four horses out of six runners have run out that race and have all won. And the time figure of the race is very good as well. So he's run two spectacularly good times. He now goes back to Dundalk, a track which he's already run over. He's up in trip, which should suit his run style. He's slightly better drawn than Chinega Bay. As I said, I think he should be favourite. And he's 9-4, so let's make him the nap.
Nap selection then for Andy in the opener in the shape of Black Wolf Run. The 3:10 is the second race. This one is an apprentice handicap over a mile. Chatterton is the 130 favourite this morning, but there's been money for 6 Silver Lane, who's 6-1 into 4-1 second favourite. 8-1 for Like a Prayer. Twist and Turns is 8s as well with Pierre d'Or. 9-1 for Norville, and 10s or bigger for the others. So Dundalk specialist 6 Silver Lane, Andy, is the one that's attracting the money this morning. Can you see why?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think he's a viable each-way alternative to the favourite. These two have locked horns before. That was back on the 19th of May when Chatterton came out on top. Six Silver Lane was back in third. On that occasion, Six Silver Lane made the run in. He had every chance, but he got outrun by Paul Flynn's five-year-old in the latter stages. And that certainly was a little bit of a relief for Connections of Chatterton, who prior to that had had to wait 15 runs for him to get his head in front. But he had been running very consistently, and he was certainly suggesting he was about to strike. He's run respectively on his next two starts. When finishing third at Ballinrobe on his last run behind Ruler of France, he was a little bit unlucky that day. He got into a modest track position and then finished his race off quite well. He does come with his quirks, Chatterton. I don't think he's the most straightforward of characters, and you have to kind of like nurse him and finesse him into the race. But if anyone can do it, it's going to be the informed Sean Corby. And the way that this race is set up, I presume that Six Silver Lane will go off in front and make it a reasonable gallop, and it should suit Chatterton again. So similarly to quite a few of my selection today, I'm sticking with an inform Dundalk specialist, and I'm going to go with Chatterton.
Chatterton in the second race. Then the third race is the 3:45. This is a handicap over 7 furlongs for 3-year-olds and older, rated 47-75. Is He Bay or Grey is the 9-4 favourite this morning. 9-2 for Perfect Fit and Chaplin Bay. Escapism is 7-1. 11-1 for Hat Al Nassar and Rest Assured and Busy Bush. And it's 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. You can see why Izzy Bay or Grey is at the top of the market. And he's remarkably consistent, has won at Dundalk in the past as well. Do you see him as the one to beat here?
I do, yeah. And he's going to be the selection as well. Again, a little bit of a unoriginality for myself, but you certainly forgive me from putting this one up because he's just so solid. You know, he hardly ever runs a bad race. I like his attitude. He stuck his head down really well to win last time out at Leopardstown. He's just the kind of horse you want in the trenches with you. He was third the time before Garen, but again, that was a good race, strongly run one. And to be fair, he just got beat by an Upper Limau Bar horse of David Watchman's called Woodell. But there was certainly no disgrace in that. He's got good form here as well at Dundalk. He's a winner here over the track. And from 6 furlongs to 7 furlongs, he's fairly flexible as well. I don't think he's just a 6 furlong horse we can pigeonhole into that bracket, because that race back on the 19th of May was an excellent run. When he was running up to Joe Lange's inform, Kate Wolfe has gone on to win subsequent at Leopardstown. The time of the race is good. And Woodell, who defeated him at Garen Park, actually was behind him that day. So solid form doesn't really come much better than Izzy Bay or Grey's at the moment. And Pat Martin, when he does get an inform runner like this, they usually maintain it for a good period of time. So while the iron is still red hot, then I should think we need to keep striking with this horse.
Okay, sticking with Is He Bay or Grey then in the 3:45. The 4:15 is the fourth race on the card. This one is a handicap for 3-year-olds and older over 5 furlongs. Ardumi heads the market and has been back from 5-2 into 2-1. A bit of money for My Good Brother as well, who's 4-1 into 7-2. It's 13-2 for Your Best Chance. Master Speaker going the other way, 13-2 out to 7s. Russian Soul is 6s out to 8s. It's 8-1 for Kimbe and 10-1 on bigger prices for the others. You've already mentioned the form line of Ardumi in passing in one of the other races, Andy. Are you sticking with it in this race?
I am again. Another race I'm playing with a fairly straight bat, something that the Australian Test cricket team didn't do this week. But that form of the Rockingham for me is probably one of the best 5 furlong sprint races of the season run so far, certainly on my figures anyway. It went the way of Foxy Forever, who took advantage of a high stall position. Discussion to Follow ran well yesterday. Ascot followed him home. And the trio of high-drawn numbered horses was followed through by Desert Law. So all those that ran on the low side, down the middle of the track, I've upgraded. And of course, Ardumi came out the best. He was drawn in stall 9 and he finished 4th. Back in behind him was the likes of Master Speaker, Kim Bay, My Good Brother, Russian Soul, Prince Connoisseur, who are all track specialists here. But they've got a bit to find on the bare form of that run. The key to Ardumi actually has been him dropping back in trip. Joe Lyons was actually trying to make him into a 7 furlong miler, but because he's had slight problems with his wind over the course of the last year or so, I think he probably might have a wind operation to when the season's out. He's done better when there's less pressure on him, i.e. he's running over shorter distances. So his best form this season, as you can quite clearly see, has been when he's dropped back to 6 and 5. And he's drawn right next to the pace as well. I think My Good Brother, who usually likes to rattle along, is drawn on the inside. And that's another key point. You need to be hugging the inside rail as you're running into the home bend. So this one's, again, fairly straightforward. I can't see how hard he's not going to run well here. He's a worthy favourite. He's topping me figures. And let's hope his breathing doesn't collapse in the latter stages.
Hopefully not. The 450 is the fifth race on the card. This one is a race over a mile and a quarter for three-year-olds. Outspoken heads the market at 4-6, 15-8 for Don Camillo. Zebek is 7-1, 12-1 for Seaforth. Only four of them in the lineup here, Andy, and Outspoken has the best form on offer, really. Is it as simple as siding with a 4-6 favourite?
On this occasion, I'm probably just going to go against him, not because I don't like the horse. I think he's going the right way, but I just think from a value perspective, maybe Don Camillo could be the bet here. Yes, I know Brian Charge has got plenty of progression in him. He won first time at Navan, something that I know Brian's three-year-old colts don't often do. And he beat a horse called Salt House, who's gone in subsequently. And the other day, you'd rather forgive him for not justifying favouritism because it was a bit of a stop-start messy affair. And he got beat by probably a great tactical ride by Joseph O'Brien from the front, who slowed it up, quickened it on Archangel Raphael. It actually didn't suit the other horse in the race, I fancied, Botany Bay. So it was a bit of a mess. So I don't think we can really, pour cold water over that performance by this son of Galileo. He's definitely the one to beat, but I do quite like Don Camillo. I'm going to give him one more try. I tipped him the other day down in Ross Comedy, but it absolutely poured down with rain. And being by the son of Gosapper that wants a reasonable surface to run on, that really was his chance done for. Even though it says good ground in the race card, it was actually probably soft by the time they run that. But it was a fantastic speed figure down in Roscommon, and he just couldn't go with them late on. But prior to that, he'd run really well in what I think is a vintage tercentenary. Only time will tell whether that race is going to justify my statements. But I do think that time test is a group one horse in waiting. And he ran quite well from a bad draw and a bad track position that day. He's run really well at Dundalk on his two visits. He just got touched off by the old hard-knocking horse Hardstone the time before, but he did win on debut this season. So, this could be a little bit of a tactical affair here, and maybe Tats Mullen, who is a technical genius, as we saw yesterday on Western Reserve at Newmarket, might just nick it from the front if he decides to make the running on Don Camillo.
Okay, taking a chance on Don Camillo in the 450. The 525 is the sixth race on the card. This one is a handicap for three-year-olds and all the rates of 50-70. So over that extended mile and a quarter, and Eloge heads the market at 3-1, 9-2 for Manorov. Sarkis Jack is 5-1, 8-1 for Manuka and Windward Passage and War Room. It's 10-1 for Viaduct Joey and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. One of the more open races on the afternoon, Andy. Who would you like in there?
Yeah, that's the daftest price of the day, that is, for me. That 3-1 for Eloge. I think they'll bet 4-5-1 the field. I think this is a lot more wide open than the market suggests. Loads of these can be given chances. They all win in their turn. They're very difficult to predict. Manorov's a horse I've basically bought and, got virtually. I might as well have gone and bought the horse in a sale because I've spent that much money trying to follow him. He's a frustrating character, but he can win this. There's no doubt about that, but he just needs everything to drop right. Same comments apply for Eloge. I mean, she's not a bad filly, but she's got leg problems, and she went to the sales last year, and she went up to $3,000, and nobody decided to buy her. She's a real bad mover, and she's only had one win in 18, so, like I said, I do think she's a poor price. Socky's Jack's got hardly any all-weather form to sort of go on, so you're sort of like scratching around the dark here for where the value might lie, and I've got a sneaky feeling this War Room could be it. The largely due to the fact that his speed figures here at Dundalk are fairly solid. He's got beat on the turf on his last two runs, but if you go back to the 17th of April when he beat Eloge and wanted to inform performers, that was a good effort by Shane Duffy's Charge when he come from a long, long way off the pace to score at 20-1. But there's no fluke about that because he's got some good figures here in the dim and distant past. And a return to Dundalk obviously might just enhance his chances here. I think 8-1's a big price. And the other one to keep an eye on is Manuka. Now, the reason I'm mentioning him is because he's been of a frustration for so many connections. I think Johnny Murta had him in his early days. He's then gone to Tony Martin. He couldn't get a win out of him. But he's gone with one of the up-and-coming sort of Dundalk trainers that does really well here, and that's Michael O'Callaghan. If he can't get him right, then nobody can. He's got the first-time hood on. He's certainly got the ability to run well here, Manuka. And he's just worth keeping an eye on in the market because that O'Callaghan team do like a punt. So a wide-open race. I do think Eloge is poor value. Manorov's a little bit slippy for me, so I'm going to go with War Room each way.
Okay, War Room each way in the 5.25. The final race this afternoon in Dundalk is the 5.55. We finish here with a maiden over a mile and a half. And the market headed this morning by Aidan O'Brien's Hobart, who's 8-11. But the money seems to be for Captain Carlton, who's 7-2 into 5-2. 11-4 for Walkabout, and Meadowlands is 14-1. So an odds on Aidan O'Brien shot, but the money coming for the second favourite, Captain Carlton. Do you echo those moves, Andy?
I do, actually, yeah. I'm going to give Captain Carlton another go here, largely due to his lamentable run. Nothing else can sum it up other than saying that. Back in April here, when I went for him in a big way, I think he was 7 or 8 to 1 in the morning. I said he was the best bet on the card, and rather embarrassingly for me, he finished last of 12, but that just was not his run, plain and simply. He was very keen on, from a wide draw early on. Fran Berry just couldn't get him in, he couldn't get him any cover, and he just completely fainted off the home bend. He found absolutely zip, and I was left licking my wounds, to be fair, leaving Dundalk with my tail between my legs, because that was the last race on the card. But his subsequent runnings suggest that run was definitely not his true ability. He's run really well last time at the Curragh on the flat when he was third behind Jocular and on a pedestal. And on a pedestal, give Stella Glower an almighty fright down in Nacy the night. The time of the race is very good. Actually puts him top of my speed figures off that run. And he's also run well over jumps the other day in a red-hot race down in Bellierstown. Typical one of those summer good jumping races that I think the form will work out. The likes of Tempo Mac, Rornack, Rupert Lamb, they're all sort of Galway festival bound. And he really did keep on quite strongly in the latter stages. So since they've applied the hood and the tongue tie, he seems to have improved quite measurably. Unfortunately, the hood's not on today for one reason or another. I don't know why Connections haven't done that. That seems quite bizarre considering his best two runs have come with headgear on. But anyway, we'll go with him ahead of Hobart, who, to be fair to him, hasn't done, you know, an absolute massive amount. So I think he's slightly vulnerable at odds on. So Captain Carlton, definitely the value bet in the last.
Okay, Captain Carlton, the value in the last. Let's have a quick summary, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections for Dundalk one more time.
Yeah, usually I like to keep my best for last, but I've got my big batters out opening the top of the order for me here today with Black Wolf Run. Do think his form is stronger than Chinaga Bay. In the 3.10, Chatterton looks an obvious selection for me there. Similar comments apply to Izzy Bale Grey in the 3.45. I'm going to stick with the top figure horse, the fastest horse in the race, and that's Ard Humi. Take a bit of a punt that Don Camillo in the first time visor can step up market on his last two runs. In the 5.25, I'm going to give a chance for the bottom one here, War Room, who's got some good form over course and distance. And also in the last race, I'm going to give another chance for Captain Carlton, who should run a good deal better than he did here on his last visit.
OK, good stuff. Two Ashes references in there, Andy. You've been watching the cricket by any chance?
What do you think? Hasn't the whole nation?
Yeah, it's been great, hasn't it?
It's been fantastic.
Hopefully we can knock them for 6 at Dundalk as well.
Oh, very good.
Thanks, Andy. Good luck and enjoy it this afternoon.
Yeah, it's time to leave it now, I think.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.